St. Paul teaches us an astonishing paradox, that in weakness, power reaches perfection. Those few words from St. Paul have been the foundation of my own personal prayer life, spiritual life, for the last 20 years, when my own strength was taken away through illness, and I've had to live during that time in weakness. There is a kind of power, the familiar kind, which does not reach perfection in weakness, but only in force or strength. The kind that we are talking about now, that St. Paul refers to, is another kind, and that is the greatest power in the world. It is God's power. In the words of St. Paul, he wrote, "The Lord says, my strength is made perfect in your weakness, Paul." God is speaking to Paul here, because St. Paul had asked God in prayer three times to remove the thorn in the flesh. St. Paul had some kind of physical weakness, and whatever it was, it bothered Paul so much that he did ask, beseeched God three times to remove it, and all three times the answer from God was no. Paul's threefold prayer to God was answered, as all prayers are eventually answered, but the answer was no. And the same God who healed thousands of other people through Paul would not heal Paul himself. And we ask why, and the answer is given to us in the writings of Paul, because God said to Paul, "Because, Paul, my strength is made perfect in your weakness." Now, what does that mean to us people today? In the first letter that Paul wrote to the people of Corinth, Paul said to them, "We preach Christ crucified, the very image of weakness, a dying man hanging on a cross." He went on to say, "The foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men." It should be so obvious to all of us here this morning that our world today looks always for success in people, looks always for immediate, visible, worldly success. The world says, if you are not pretty, or healthy, or rich, or sophisticated, then possibly you are a failure, a loser. And that is the reason why today the gospel values of Christianity are so terribly, terribly threatening to the people of this world. Because the gospel values of Christianity say that this world's losers are quite often God's winners. And this world's winners are quite often God's losers. St. Paul then went on to write to the Corinthians and said this. He said, "Consider your call. Not many of you are really wise according to the standards of the world. Not many of you are powerful. Not many of you are of noble birth." But Paul said to them, But our God has chosen you, for what is weak in the world is intended to shame the strong. God has always worked in that way. That is the astonishing paradox of the writings of St. Paul. And of course, the greatest example in all history of Christianity of strength through weakness is found in Christ, especially now in the Easter season. That God in Christ put aside his heavenly power to share our human weakness, to share our sufferings and our tiredness and our frustrations, even our death, which is the ultimate weakness. This is his, Christ's, and our greatest triumph. For now on Easter, we recognize that death led to resurrection, triumph. Death's power over Christ on Calvary was the downfall of death. Death was destroyed. And Christ's weakness to death was the success of Christ, because it was the fulfillment of his mission here on earth to save us, his people, from death. And then as we look all through the history of the church, we see in the lives of the saints, particularly the more heroic ones whose life stories are written down, the same principle of God's strength coming to this world through the weakness of the lives of those people, because they are all members of Christ's body. We are all members of Christ's body. And of course, in Holy Scripture, the word saint refers to all of the Christed people, all the members of the body of Christ, all the members of the church baptized into Christ are called saints. Only the more heroic ones, of course, have their biographies written. And from them, we discover a principle that becomes very clear. The saints of the church, the small ones and the great ones, always showed that God would wait until they failed, and only then would God intervene in their lives with God's power. You remember Augustine? He tried with all of his brilliance to find happiness in whatever the world could offer him, and only was he able to find God, or rather, with God able to find him as he fled from God through his passions and his pride. Ignatius, the great successful soldier, gave up his armor when he was stricken with illness, and only then did God make him truly strong, a spiritual warrior, 1,000 times more influential than if he had remained in the army at that time. The history of the church is filled with those stories, and they culminate in the return of Christ, for it is always his story. History is the Christ story, of which we are all a part. Over and over again, in this long story of humanity's ongoing relationship with God, human strength turns out to be weakness, and weakness becomes strength in God. It always works this way, that our way up to God by our own power always ends in failure. And God's way down to us to fill up the emptiness in our heart, the emptiness of our weakness, always ends in success. Look at the story of Job that all of you recognize. The way up for Job was the power that he had with his brilliant mind to ask all the questions that he wanted to ask of God. Why do bad things happen to good people? Job cried out again and again to God, why did you do this to me? But there is no answer. The intellectual power of Job fails to provide an answer. And it is only when Job finally shuts up that God shows up in the life and the heart of Job to provide the answer. And God asks Job in his heart, he says, Job, now it is my turn to ask questions of you, and I want your answer. And Job finally was satisfied because he recognized that he had come face to face with the mysterious presence of God in his life, that God is God, and he, Job, a poor, weak creature person. Job's so-called brilliant way up to God with his wonderful questions fails. And only in the silence of Job's heart, as God comes down to him, does Job succeed. Job's strength becomes his weakness. Job's weakness becomes his strength. Job's pride fails. Job's humility succeeds, for it admits God finally into his life. Now God is able to come into the life of Job on God's terms, not the terms of Job. What does this mean to us people of the 20th century at this moment? This principle. St. Paul ended that writing on this subject by saying, therefore, I am now content with my weaknesses and difficulties for the sake of Christ. He meant that we people today should not fear, not even perhaps run away from difficulties, for God at times deliberately allows them to enter into our lives. The hand of God is not shortened. Our living God, who loves us always, is continually teaching us and strengthening us by weakening us. In that way, strengthening our reliance upon Him by weakening our reliance on ourselves. That is why whenever we pray, we show that we are weak and need help. That is the secret to wholeness, holiness, happiness, whatever you want to call it. We can and we should use our weaknesses. Present them to God so that God can do with them whatever He wishes and do with us, weak people, whatever God wishes to do with us. Nothing in our life is ever wasted, not even our weaknesses, especially not our weaknesses, because through them we are able to allow the strength of God to enter our heart. Death is the greatest weakness, and Christ has transformed death itself into our great strength, our passing over to join Him in eternal life. We must remember, of course, that not all weaknesses are God's power. Only the weakness to Him, only the openness to God. And whatever weaknesses that we present to God, when we join our weaknesses with the sufferings of Jesus Christ as an offering to the Father, they are given redemptive value. We do not ever glorify weakness in itself. We do not glorify any kind of weakness for its own sake, but only because it becomes healing power when God enters into it. just as he did with Paul. Weakness of any kind is like an empty riverbed. It is power only when living water enters. Weakness of any kind is like an empty riverbed. It is power only when living water enters. When we are emptied, the Lord of the living waters enters that emptiness.